Oh, yes. I'm going to let my first guest in a couple of minutes tell you what you've just heard. But I can tell you that the music is from Finland, an album, Festivals and Celebrations, Finnish Brass in America. And you are listening to Arts Live and Local. This is Carol. I'm glad to be here with you. Have a musical show today, all music, different kinds of music. Sometimes it comes together like that. It is August 2nd, 2024. Again, I don't know where the months are going, but it's taking beautiful days with us. So we're here for summertime. We're sending our hopes and wishes, prayers and demands that this world get its act together and we can have healing and peace in the world, in our world and in the major world. Israel and Palestine, Ukraine and Russia, Sudan, one of the most hardest hit that we don't hear much about, Afghanistan, Haiti, everywhere, including locally. And please drive and waterway carefully, no matter where you live. But if you live around here, where we are, KMUN, Astoria, Oregon, and Tillamook, Oregon, with KTCB, we know how hard it's been on families. Sending healing wishes to Lisa and Hope, and Janet and Erica Betty Lou, Whispering Smith, and the families and friends of all those who have died recently, whenever it's impacting you. Just heard that NPR's Ina Jaffe just died. Her voice is very familiar to us, and she was our no-nonsense chutzpahdik reporter, Ina Jaffe. Rest in peace. And for the good times, happy Beer Day, everybody. Did you know it was Beer Day? I didn't. Take it from our program director. And for happy birthdays to three KMUN notables, Marianne Myers, David Paul, and Debbie Twombly. Happy, happy birthdays. To Hobie Kiter, he's also been here many times, a local musician. And 100th anniversary, James Baldwin, who's impacted many of our lives. Well, my first guest, I promised you that he would tell you what we were listening to, so I will introduce him, Paul Niemestl from American Poyat. And
terve.
How do you say it again?
Terve. Yeah, terve. Tuloa kaikille. Hyvää iltapäivää. Olen Pauli Niemestä tässä.
Is that English with a Finnish accent? No.
Not a bit of it.
Not even close. Paul is actually my connection. Are you the leader of the band?
I am the founder and the leader.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fabulous. How long ago were you?
1990. We're coming up pretty soon on our 35th anniversary.
That's right, next year. Excellent. This is the Finnish Brass Band, and they are playing all over this area, Astoria, as well as in Nacelle, on the Long Beach Peninsula. And we'll tell you the wares. I was lucky enough to hear them yesterday. They performed in the Astoria Victorian Flavel Museum Gardens. It was beautiful outside. It was a little too sunny, so everybody grabbed their chairs.
Pretty warm.
And ran. It doesn't. I bet it gets hotter in Minnesota.
Yeah, but we wouldn't play under those conditions normally.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. It was wonderful. I have to be honest. I was a little bit skeptical. Seven brass, and Paul actually asked if we could have the whole band in here. Now you see what I mean? Would have been a little awkward.
We would have never been able to get to do the technology for that.
No, I would. Yeah. Anyway, but the sound is beautiful, blends beautifully, and the variety of music is excellent. So tell us about this Finnish Brass Band. What made you think of doing
well,
this?
Well, I'm, of course, you might guess that I'm Finnish American, third generation, and I have made some trips over to Finland, starting quite early, and I kept running into people that were showing me this material for these bands in Finland. There are a seven-piece brass band was normal in any little village all through the late 1800s, during the time when Finland was developing its sense of independence. And when it was trying to get itself ready to rid itself of the Russian dominance. And so...
Why seven-piece, though?
Well, it was decided on by a Finnish military band conductor who looked at the scores that were available at that time that had been written for a slightly larger band. And he said, what can I do to trim this down to the bare minimum?
Mm.
And five was too little.
Hmm.
So seven worked pretty well for what he had. He was able to cover what he thought was the right instrumentation. So that was settled on, and it became then universal throughout the countryside.
What are the... Are there seven different instruments?
There's a... The smallest one is called an E-flat soprano cornet, and its range is not very far from the B-flat piccolo trumpet that's used in, for instance, Baroque music.
Mm-hmm.
The next two instruments are both B-flat cornet parts, And they are, now I understand that a cornet is almost like a trumpet, but a more mellow sound. It's considered a part of the conical brass family rather than the cylindrical brass family.
Hmm.
A trumpet is considered cylindrical, which means that by having the same tubing throughout the larger part of the instrument, it kind of intensifies the sound. Whereas with a cornet, the bore widens, which means that it mellows as it goes along.
Hmm.
And so one of the features of this brass septet is that all seven instruments are conical. So they're often the same family. If any of the listeners are familiar with brass quintet music, you'll find many of the players are always struggling with finding a way to reconcile the difference between a French horn and a trumpet. Very widely different instruments. How do you balance them? How do you seat them? How do you record them? It's a challenge. I mean, great groups have done it, but for us, it's a no-brainer. It's really easy.
Well, I was outside, but listening to your album, I also felt the blending is quite wonderful.
Yeah, it's almost choral.
Actually, you know, at some points, I was listening in the car coming in, and there were times when I, wait, what am I hearing?
Yeah, right. That's because of the fact that they're all in the same family, and no one of them stands out. They all fit together.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. So you said the smallest, the cornet. I'm sending that out to Jim Goodwin, our local cornetist, who came to my 50th birthday party playing a cornet, which was thrilling.
And then there's an alto horn,
okay,
which is a brass band version of a French horn, in that you don't put your hand in the bell, but the bell goes up off the side of your head, sort of like a euphonium.
Okay.
Okay, and then there's a tenor horn, which is in B-flat, and about the same bore as a trombone. But also it's conical rather than a trombone, which is cylindrical. And then there's a euphonium, which is sort of the cello of the family. And it's my instrument. And it's the reason why I even created the group, was to be able to play those lyrical parts.
Yes.
That's my mission in life, dear. And then the tuba on the bottom.
And we have, here in Astoria, we have a tuba quartet.
I've heard.
But one of the gentlemen who is deceased, but he played for years with the euphonium. That goes out to Bob Joyner. So it's, we've developed an appreciation in this area for this kind of music.
Well, I'm glad we're ready to play for you.
Okay, but yours was also, is most of the music you play geared towards Finnish-related music, or how does it work?
We try to have some connection with it. Even the music that we play that is otherwise derived, such as Argentinian tangos or foxtrots or
blues,
all of these things are through the filter of a Finnish arranger or composer. So everything on this particular album that you're looking at now was music that is a lot of it was written for us.
Really?
Yes. A lot of it was written for us in connection with the centennial of Finnish independence in 2017. We made a tour there and premiered some of these pieces at that point.
And written by Finnish Americans or
active live Finnish composers.
Okay. Can you tell us, what am I looking at on the cover?
Okay, this is a town. This is the Lake Superior.
What's the fire?
And it's sunset, and it's midsummer.
Oh, okay. So that's for the hexes.
And they do a blaze, sort of a fire on the coast, at the Lake Superior, rocky coast there. And there's some people there celebrating midsummer, and that's what that photograph is.
Okay, now flip it over and
all right,
tell us the... I didn't dare read any of the Finnish because...
Oh, all right.
Because you're sitting here, I'll use you.
All right, well, the first piece we played, the one you heard, and the first one on the album is called Bold as Brass, and it's by a Finnish composer who's still alive, very active, very interested in brass band music, by the name of Jukka Viitasaari.
And what's the name of it in Finnish?
In Finnish, it's called Torvisangari. Torvisangari. It means bold as brass. Actually, it's my own Finnish, and what it really means is horn hero. That's what the feeling is of that.
Were your parents from Finland? Or grandparents?
My grandparents immigrated.
How is it? Do you actually speak Finnish, or just enough to? I'm going to out you here.
I learned it. I did a lot of teaching in the early years of my career in the summers in Finland at music camps. And I had to deal with all these teenies or tweenies, and at that point, a lot of them didn't speak English,
mm-hmm.
and so they come up with you with their doe eyes and ask some question, something that they had to know, and I had to figure out what they were saying.
Right.
So I went into high gear and I just learned as much as I could. My Finnish is not perfect; mm-hmm. it's not native.
Your pronunciation sounds beautiful. Well, I don't know if it's correct or not.
Well,
it sounds beautiful.
I can do pretty well, and then if I go for a long time, I start to slip into a kind of an American accent of Finnish.
Right.
But I know enough words that I can get along in most situations mm-hmm. that aren't too technical.
And do you, the people in the band, can anybody join? Are you all music professionals?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are. We have people in there who are from the opera pits in Minneapolis,
uh-huh.
and from various orchestras and other ensembles all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
We have an orchestra conductor and brass player from Duluth from Moorhead and from all over the state.
Is this the only Finnish brass band in Minnesota?
In North America.
In North America, really?
We have no
wow.
we have no colleagues
wow.
that I know of.
Interesting. I presume that because, and you notice a lot of us here, because Astoria is Little Finland, so we know Minnesota, we say. But, so I assumed that's why you had it there, but I did not realize
we're the only reincarnation. If you go back to the beginning of the 1900s, there were all kinds of these bands all over, including in Nacelle.
Oh, yes.
And in Astoria.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other villages are up and down the coast where there were Finns who were fishermen or lumbermen or whatever they were mm-hmm. doing in the area. Same is true on the East Coast. If you go to Massachusetts, to Cape Ann, which was a granite mining area, quarries, lots of Finns there. And then in the Midwest, of course, is the largest
right.
concentration, northern Minnesota.
Oops.
Northern Minnesota and northern mm-hmm. Michigan.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Now let's tell folks where you're playing. So last night, yesterday, it was actually at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, was the open air at the Flavel Garden, not
yes.
library.
Yes.
Tonight, 7 p.m., First Lutheran Church. That would be Peace First. Peace First Lutheran
yeah.
Church. There are two venues, but this is the downtown one is where they're playing. So that's 12th and Exchange. The show is 7 p.m. Then tomorrow, I better put my glasses back
right.
on. Let's see. I have Saturday the 3rd, Nacelle Finnish American Festival at the high school I have.
Yeah, there was some.
Oh, okay.
There was some kind of a change because of a wedding, I understand.
Aha, okay.
But we're playing in the morning, too.
You're playing in the morning at the Long Beach Pavilion.
Right.
Is that in Nacelle, though?
It's on the coast.
Yeah, that would be on the peninsula, I think. Folks, you can go to their website. Do you think it's updated, though, or maybe not?
Oh, I think it is.
Yeah, okay. So here's the trick. You need to spell it correctly.
Yeah, I'll do it for you.
Go ahead.
A, M as in Mary, E-R-I-I-K, N as in Nancy, P as in Paul, O I J A T as in Tom.
Dot org.
AmericanPoet.org. But you can also just Google Boys of America Finnish Brass and it'll come up.
Okay. Okay, that works. Fun trivia is that in Finnish, the eyes are often doubled. And growing up, the eyes, the vowels.
Yeah, this is a subtle little joke because in our name, it's a regional dialect that puts the two eyes.
Oh,
in there.
I see.
Yeah.
And what does Poyat mean?
Boys.
Oh, there you go.
But we've got a girl in our band.
You do? I know. That was very exciting.
Yeah, that's how cavalier the Finns are about gender specificity.
Yes. Well, the Finns or the Finnish Americans, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I think they're a little more conservative in this
regard,
yes.
Well, we are delighted to have you here and delighted to have the music. Let's see if I can put a little bit more music on and let you head on out because you, after all, do have a gig tonight. So let's put something completely different and... Okay, here we go. Okay, folks, this shows you a little bit of the variety that they play. Again, this is the...
Boys of America.
Boys of America. And they are playing tonight at Peace First. Thank you so much for coming in. Paul Niemisto. And... I hope you have a delightful time here. Are you going other places on the West Coast? Or
only what you see on the chart.
No, that's all local here. So you're not going to Portland.
That's a week's worth of travel. That's all we can afford.
Actually, I see that on the 5th of August, you will be at Director Park in Portland, Oregon.
1 o'clock, not 2 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock.
Yep.
And... the day before, I stopped in the middle of telling folks, on Sunday the 4th, there are church services at Peace First Lutheran Church. I'm not sure
that's
which
one. That's the upper one.
The upper one. Okay, and that's two of them, 8:30 and 11. And then here's a fun one outside again. It will be at the Nordic Park, that's 16th. And the river, the Marine Drive, that's Sunday at 3 o'clock. They're doing two or three concerts Sunday. These guys work hard. These folks, I have to say folks since there's a woman in the group. Thank you so much for coming.
Sure.
And enjoy your travels.
Hopefully some of you come 7 o'clock tonight, Peace First. We're looking for you.
Yes, and I recommend it as well, having seen it. And now for something completely different. Oh, yeah. This is, well, a lot of you might be familiar with this band, Pearl Django. And this is Belleville we're listening to from their Avalon album. This is one of our regional bands from Seattle, Washington. And I'm playing them because my next guest is Diana Thompson from Water Music Festival Jazz and Oysters. Yum, yum. And she's going to tell us about their festival coming up on August 10th. Folks, that's a week from tomorrow. So stay tuned. The KMUN Astoria KTCB Tillamook. This is Carol with Arts Live and Local. Hi, Diana.
Woo-hoo. Hi, Carol. Thanks for the invite. It's good to see you.
This is great music, too. I love this, these guys. They play Django Reinhardt. How can you not love them? So tell us what this is, Jazz and Oysters. Now, wasn't this at one point a blues and jazz festival and the two got separated out, or might
I don't believe so. Now, Water Music Festival got started, next year it will have been 40 years ago.
Wow.
And you know the
yes.
two, the people, some of the people.
KMUN people helped start that, and that would have been Carlos and Sharon Montoya Welsh. Sharon was the Oyster Queen, and Carlos was a jazz programmer, so they put together Jazz and Oysters. And
exactly.
I'm thinking of something else that was seafood and blues, but Jazz and Oysters has always been.
Right.
It was created to help with classical music. Wasn't that the idea?
Yeah, Water Music Festival, like I say, got started almost 40 years ago, and it was to bring high-quality music to the Long Beach Peninsula, because at that point, there wasn't a lot of places where you could go listen to music. And a year after it started, those two started Jazz and Oysters, and they said it was to be a fundraiser for the Water Music Festival. But given all of the things I've heard over the years, I suspect a chunk of it, too, was because they wanted to bring jazz to the area.
Oh, totally. Oh, totally. But you need an excuse, right?
Sure. And it worked well.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Because both events have continued for all these years.
Yes.
And
Sharon and Carlos have been gone. They come back and visit us sometimes.
Right.
But so how does Water Music Society put on all these festivals? Is everybody a volunteer or what?
Yes. We do not have any paid staff. It's a bunch of us that are volunteers, and people stay on for a number of years and then eventually retire, and we try to find some new people to come along.
And sometimes they retire and then they come back, don't they, Diana?
True.
Yes. How long have you been in charge of Jazz and Oysters?
Started in the year 2000.
Oh, my gosh.
Took 1 year off.
Wow. Good for you.
And came back.
Good for you. That's fantastic. Yeah. I know there's also the Music in the Gardens that I just attended.
Yes.
And there's... what are the other festivals?
Well, there's the Water Music Festival in October.
Right.
And then there's a Christmas concert in December.
Those are the four events, right? And all well worthwhile. And I know with some of the events, money raised goes to music scholarships, isn't that right?
Well, we do some. What happened is, as I said, originally the intent was to bring music to an underserved area. But over time, we've gotten some businesses in town where there's some pubs that have good music regularly. And so there is music up there now. So what we've done is we've changed our mission, besides to bring good music.
Right.
We try to make money so that we can donate it to the school art and music programs. So in Ilwaukee High School, we have an incredible music instructor, and she takes kids to a lot of different places for competitions. They get to go to the mariachi band went to Texas for some competition, and some of these kids never ever had been on a plane before, but she was able to take them to this competition where they learned that they can compete and they learn to work together. So she's got probably half the kids in the school in one music program or another. So whatever we can do to help mm-hmm. support that is part of what hooks me.
Yeah. I found it. I mean, I think everyone in the room gets kind of teary when these kids get up there and play mm-hmm. for at different festivals they're part of. As a matter of fact, let's tell folks what's happening at this August 10th Jazz and Oysters. Why don't you tell us what the schedule is there?
Well, gates open at 11:30. Music starts at noon, and it's the Ilwaukee High School Jazz Band that kicks things off.
Okay.
And then, got to look at my notes here. At 1:30, mm-hmm. we have Pearl Django.
That's what we just heard, yeah.
And then at 4 o'clock, we have Patrick Lamb.
Now, I looked up because I knew the name, but I didn't know his music. So I looked up and I jotted down from Todd Barkin, NEA Jazz Master. Patrick Lamb, one of the most powerfully uplifting and deeply expressive and swinging saxophonists in the world today. And this is my favorite. He raises the roof and melts our hearts. I love that. So now, do you know where he bodes from? I mean, where'd you find him?
Well, he actually, both Pearl Django and Patrick Lamb have played at Jazz and Oysters in the past.
Okay.
But about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick was a Portland person.
I see.
So he's no longer living in Portland, but he was there for a lot of years.
But you got him back.
Yes.
That's lovely. Just lovely. Well, and I've got some of his music here, but why don't you, and we'll play that a little bit, but why don't you tell us? Maybe I'll put the music on. Ooh. You're listening to Patrick Lamb and Diana Thompson from the Jazz and Oysters Festival coming up. So, better bring Patrick down a little bit. You can catch his music. It will be 4 o'clock, the Jazz and Oysters Festival. So, Diana, tell us what else is offered.
Well, it is called Jazz and Oysters, so obviously we have oysters. And a big thank you to Taylor Shellfish. They're donating.
Ooh.
Again, they have donated to us for a number of years.
Nice.
And so we're getting lots of oysters from them. And even with the issues with the warm water and such, they do frozen oysters.
Mm-hmm.
So these are real safe. But we also have all kinds of other food, like hamburgers and sausages and fruit plates and desserts, cookies and a variety of things. So if somebody doesn't want to eat oysters, mm-hmm. there are other options.
Now, these things are, we don't give prices, but these are for sale.
Correct.
It's not part of that. Okay. And do people need to It's happening outdoors.
It's outdoors at the port in Nakata, which is on Willapa Bay.
Port Peninsula.
Correct. And no outside food or beverages. That is a liquor board rule.
Okay.
We don't get to let people come in with water bottles.
Oh, not even water bottles.
No.
Oh, that's I don't approve of, but that's okay. It's not your fault.
It's liquor board because we don't know what's in the bottle.
Right. Yeah.
So, and if somebody wants to bring a dog, they must be on leash, and you got
to
pick up.
Do you need
to
bring your own chairs?
Yes,
or blankets
chair or a blanket, because it is outdoors.
Yeah. And, of course, it's going to be gorgeous weather.
I'm sure.
Dare I ask what happens if it's pouring rain?
We don't even mention that word.
Okay, we don't go there at this point. I can understand that. And we haven't had that for a while, even those slight drizzles don't bother me. So, so this is the, some like the 38th?
This would be the 38th.
38th, okay. And Jazz and Oysters. And you can find them if you look up the Water Music Society, or does Jazz and Oysters have its own?
Well, we've got a Facebook page for Jazz and Oysters. But if you look up watermusicfestival.com or watermusicsociety.com, you can get to the website where you can purchase tickets and that stuff.
And that, I highly recommend, because it's got all of the offerings of the Water Music Society.
Right.
And it's very rich, and it's all volunteer, beautifully done. So, KMUN, how do you know?
Of course.
Okay. Anything else we need to know, Diana?
Please.
Let me just ask you something. What got you into this? Have you always been a jazz fan or something?
Well, I really like music, and what got me in is some good friends of ours. We went out to dinner with them, and they said, "Oh, gee, we were going to quit Water Music Board, but then everybody else quit." And we said to them, "Oh, we'll help you."
That's how it happens around here, isn't it? Okay. And then all these years later. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in,
Thank
Diana.
Thank you for your
and
time.
And thanks for keeping this festival going. Diana Thompson from the Peninsula.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. KMUN.org is our website. You can find a podcast of this show and many shows. And you can find a delightful merch shop and enjoy my favorite, in addition to all the stuff that you wear or look at, is this gorgeous book of Barbara Grant's illustrations that were used here for the current for many years. And so Reinmar Bartle put that together, and it is a beautiful book, and it benefits KMUN, and you will enjoy it, whether you knew the originals or didn't. So check it out. Some music for my next guests. How about that for drama? Oh, it's music and the Cascadia Chamber Opera Festival is coming up next week. There's stuff happening all the time right now, folks. Trust me. You can't possibly be bored unless you insist upon it. This is an exciting festival, and I have three important people from the festival who are going to tell you about it. Berenice Jones Centeno. Hi, Berenice.
Hi, Carol.
Ooh, yes, that's
sorry,
right.
Too loud. Hi, Carol.
Berenice is an opera singer, and she projects.
Sorry about that.
I forgot about that. I shouldn't have put your mic up, Norm. Lisa Nelson, you are a singer as well, but not an opera singer.
No. Hi, Carol.
Yeah, she too projects. You're my last hope. Alex is, what is your, how do you identify? You're a dancer?
I'm a...
Not a singer?
Not really.
Okay.
I do some singing.
I'll keep your mic up high then. You're singing.
Thank you.
Okay. And that is the voice of Alex Nelson, who is how old now?
I'm turning 12.
You don't care. She can't expect her to remember. You better start. You're tall, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm short. I'm getting shorter all the time, so that doesn't help. So, I would like you three, take it away. Tell us why we just heard what we heard and what is coming up. The important thing, folks, is that you check out the schedule and get your tickets, because it's going to be fabulous. So, Berenice, do you want to start, since this is your baby?
Sure. So we have the Cascadia Chamber Opera Festival 2024. And we're beginning it this year with what we're calling children's operas, or musical theater for children, because that's really important to us, to engage our kids in the community and help them start to love great music and get to know it. And so Lisa and her troupe, her merry troupe of students from the Astoria Conservatory, and Alex are joining us today. And so, Lisa, take it away.
Oh, thank you, Marina.
The music that you heard bringing us into the show today was the Toccata and Fugue in D minor by Johann Sebastian Bach. And it is probably the most recognizable piece of music on the planet.
Indeed.
And it's also the entrance for the Count in Little Red Riding Hood. Vampire, you say, in Little Red Riding Hood? Well, not only do we have a vampire in Little Red Riding Hood, but he has a sore fang, and he is afraid to go to the dentist. And all the characters from this fairy tale are going to help him get where he needs to be.
How did this happen?
Well, let me tell you how this happened. Our amazing artistic director of dance at the Astoria Conservatory, Sarah Cohen.
Woot, Sarah!
Yes. It is her baby. Yes. It is her brainchild. She rewrote this amazing fairy tale as an annual event that we produce. So our first one was Little Red. Our next one will be Hansel and Gretel in October.
So she's working through the fairy tales.
She is. Yes.
That's fabulous. Big books.
Big books. Totally.
Although I'm glad she does some rewriting, because some of that stuff is god-awful.
You can say it. Grim.
Yeah, I was
grim. Grim.
Gee, what a coincidence. Yeah. I don't think so. I don't know whether it happened in the womb or what, but grim tales. So Little Red Riding Hood, and that is happening. That's the first weekend, so that is August 9th. That's a week from tonight at 7 o'clock, and then the second performance is Sunday at 3 o'clock. And that's, again, as Marina said, musical theater for children and their families. And all of that is at the, everything is at the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, formerly known as the PAC. And that's on 16th and Franklin in Astoria. Now, Alex, what are you doing in this Little Red Riding?
Okay. I'm playing the Big Bad Wolf, who is an anthropomorphic wolf, which means that he walks on two legs instead of four.
Lucky you. A little more comfortable.
Yes.
Are you...
Wolf costume, that it the dress for it has a hood, but it would usually be down because the hood will fall a lot, and which will take the wolf ears with it.
Okay, folks, you are getting the behind the scenes.
Exactly.
That's very cool. I didn't realize. That's good. Now we know. So don't insist that you put the hood on. And how do you dance in this costume? How do you move in?
It has a dance leotard under it, and it's just a dress over it,
mm-hmm.
pretty
okay.
much. So it's just...
Not too bad.
It just feels normal.
Oh, good.
Quite frankly, Alex is just that kind of a dancer.
Yeah.
Alex can work it.
Yep.
Go ahead. Say it. Accept your props.
How Absolutely. Long have you been dancing?
5 years.
Five?
No, since you were five.
Oh, since I was five. Sorry, my brain.
Before you were five.
In case anyone's wondering... Lisa Nelson is Alex Nelson's mom.
Oh, again, a coincidence of names.
Yeah.
What do you know? When did you start the Astoria Conservatory? 2002, but it was strictly music?
Strictly music until 2022, when Sarah came on as our artistic director of dance, and we launched a dance program and a performing arts program, including musical theater, hence Grim Tales.
Nice.
We've got some wonderful stuff coming up for spring, which I will be in contact with you,
okay,
but
you
save
sure.
the dates.
Now,
but,
do you have your own website for...
Absolutely, AstoriaConservatory.com.
There you go, folks.
There you
Couldn't
go.
Be simpler.
It couldn't be simpler.
Right.
But we are not the only production on the 9th and the 11th. There's an opera as well. Barinas, take it away.
But I'm going to backtrack. Astoria Conservatory is also where you can get lessons, private lessons. That's the original point of the Astoria
right.
Conservatory. So guys, Sorry. Go to AstoriaConservatory.com and get your kids in some lessons, because that's a part of this whole building of the next generation of great musicians.
That's right.
So actually, though, Alex started before there was dance at the conservatory.
Correct.
So you were committed to dance, even though you weren't, you were mm-hmm. for your own life, and your teaching was the music.
Correct.
But now it's all come together.
And it's wonderful.
It
and it's absolutely
life
wonderful.
Grand sometimes.
Yes.
That's
yes, yes,
terrific.
Yes, yes. So we teach right. everything at the conservatory except harp and banjo, and that's just because no one's asked for it yet.
Well, that might change, because I just read that Lisa Lynn and Arye Frankfurter are coming to the Seaside Library.
Yep.
And
Ooh.
They're she's a harpist. He is too, but I think he's going to probably play nickel harpa. I love saying that word. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Okay, and so what do you mean there's more happening?
Yeah, so the second half of the evening is going to be a work called When Dragons Come to Play. It's a opera that Cascadia Chamber Opera commissioned by a gentleman named Ashley Hastings. And it's a children's opera written with the idea of letting kids get to watch what happens when an opera happens on stage. And the story is about two kids named Lucas and Olivia, who mom and dad move to a new place. All of them move together, and they go to their new little room, and all of a sudden they find this really cool door, and guess what? Dragons come to play. And so it's a sweet opera. There's even audience participation,
Ooh.
Which I'm excited about. So audience, start warming up. Get your voices ready. And we'll also have an opportunity for folks to get to hear more about that on Skinnamarink next week on the 10th.
Great.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
But that will be after the 9th.
And mm-hmm. both, right. That's on the 10th, the Skinnamarink.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're thinking Friday night at 7 p.m., is a better time for you. Don't wait for Skinner.
Exactly.
Get your tickets.
Get your tickets
got,
now.
This is like mathematics now. As well as all that. Okay. And I did not know that. I read the names, but I... So are you in that as well?
No, I'm not in Dragons Come to Play, but...
Is that going to be your students, or is that adults?
So actually, that production is going to be as part of one of Cascadia's little rules and missions. Mm-hmm. We are also having young artists from the University of Oregon come up and perform.
Oh, lovely.
So these are graduating students from the University of Oregon that are singing.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. What a full night.
It's going to be great.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. And the kids. And is there music in the... besides Bach's Toccata. Listen to I say that. Toccata. It's the name of a new drink.
Yeah.
That goes to Ellen Fry. Is there singing in
the Little Red Riding Hood?
Yes.
There's some singing. There's a lot of really amazing dancing.
I think there's some humor, too.
And there's just a little bit of humor. Just a touch.
Right. It's hilarious.
I love recognizing all the great music, tunes that you'll... Oh, I know that song.
Yes, exactly.
And sing right along.
Wonderful. So that is a week from tonight, 7 p.m., and then listen to Skinamarink right here on your KMUN Community Radio Station, and that's 11 a.m., and Teresa will be hosting, and opera's her thing, too, although she doesn't sing, as far as I understand. That's interesting. And then 3 o'clock on Sunday. Now, there's other stuff happening with the festival. Would you tell us about that?
So this festival goes all the way until the 25th. Of the month, and it's Friday nights at 7 and then Sunday afternoons at 3 p.m. So between the show that we're doing next weekend and then the next weekend, on Wednesday the 14th, we have one of our favorite things that we love to do. It's called Pint-Sized Opera. That'll be at Fort George at 7 p.m. That's where everybody just comes. It's a free event, and folks are just singing their guts out. And last year, we were pretty thrilled with the number of people that showed up.
I heard it was mass.
It was great.
Literally standing room only.
Exactly.
And the opera singers will be, some of them will be there as well.
Yep.
And then everybody else can
jump
on
in and sing open mic almost.
I heard I missed that last year, and I heard it was a blast.
It's fun.
So that is Wednesday, the 4th.
14th. Uh-huh.
The 14th, of course, at 7 p.m.
Uh-huh.
at Fort George.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then following weekend,
the
16th and the 18th, 16th at 7 p.m., 18th at 3 p.m., is a performance of a new work, and we're getting to do the Northwest Coast premiere. It's pretty exciting. It's called Driving While Black, or DWB. It's a work written by Susan Kander, and a very dear friend of mine is the librettist, Roberta Gumbel. She'll be here to direct it.
Nice.
And it is a social justice piece, and that's another important element for Cascadia to get to present. And the story is basically from the perspective of a mother, what it's like to raise a black son in America. And it's a pretty heavy piece. We'll also be joined by some folks from the Oregon Pioneers, Oregon Black Pioneers, who will be on a panel afterwards.
Nice.
And we'll discuss the piece and have an audience talk back.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
And it's starring our amazing Barinas Jones Centeno.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes. So you must come.
I'm delighted, because every time I hear her, it's so exciting.
It is.
And it's not common enough. So this is an exciting opportunity. Last year, a gentleman wrote two pieces, and the audience went berserk.
Yeah.
It was fabulous.
Uh-huh.
Also, social justice it was exciting to see new opera incorporating so much. Yeah. And then you're going to be coming back here, not you, but someone's coming here to Arts Live and Local on the 16th to talk a little bit more about those. So we'll hear more about the... And then the last weekend.
The last weekend is just a hoop and holler and having fun. Elixir of Love by Gaetano Donizetti. It's a very traditional opera. And I just want to make sure I bring forward, every single one of these pieces is going to be in English, a really important element for Cascadia Chamber Opera. We want folks to understand what's happening. And we will also still be presenting things with super titles as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're feeling like I didn't catch that phrase because that soprano was too busy singing high, you still see the text up above.
And yes, so. Barinas is a soprano, just in case you wonder. Well, folks, it's very exciting. What's the best website?
Yeah. CascadiaChamberOpera.org.
Okay.
And that's Cascadia, C-A-S-C-A-D-I-A.
Right. Mm-hmm. CascadiaChamberOpera.org. If you are driving and you couldn't write that down, you don't know, you can always go to partnersforthepack.org or the Larson Center, Charlene Larson Center. There are others, but, or you can just call us at 4 o'clock. We'll tell you what we need. Okay, and 4 o'clock is just about here. Anything else? You have 1 minute to wrap
it up.
Get your
tickets now so that we're not worrying, hoping that folks are coming.
Yeah, I am about to. And by the way, when you go to Cascadia Chamber Opera, we don't give prices, but there are some special ways that you can help support the group, the organization, which is located right here in Astoria, Oregon. We have our own opera troupe.
Woot.
Go figure, mm-hmm. Town of 10,000, a community radio station, an opera troupe.
A conservatory.
We rock.
So sophisticated.
Y'all need
Thank
to come.
You. Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming, Alex Nelson, Lisa Nelson, and Barinas Jones Centeno.
Thank you, Carol.
And don't break any legs.
Thank you, Carol.
I'm looking forward planning on seeing all three.
Thank
and,
you.
And
thank
hope
you
for to get to the us. Pint size, too.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Come.
Okay, folks. What did I have? Oh, I don't know. Is that what this is? We're out of time. I'm just going to wish Debbie Twombly an extra happy birthday. I was going to play Brownsmead Woman for her, but I ran out of time. Stay tuned to KMUN.org. Your one and only real community.
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and streaming live at KMUN.org.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.